This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna. Focused reporting, sharp analysis, and the local stories shaping our lives. Daily updates in a fast-paced world.
Right now, the question us men are being asked, are we strong enough to speak? Well, it's a Men's Month, Health Month conversation on mental wellness. This month is Men's Health Month, a time dedicated to raising awareness about the physical, emotional, and mental health challenges facing men. Now, while conversations around fitness, diet, and physical well-being are becoming more common, mental health remains a topic that many men, many of us, still struggle to discuss openly. Cultural expectations, perhaps, stigma, the fear of judgment, it often prevents men from seeking help when they need it most. Now, today, we're going to be engaging in a different kind of conversation. Joining us on the line, we welcome Lesedi Mochadibani, entrepreneur, innovator, also youth leader, and someone who has chosen to share his own journey with mental health. Now, just to give you some background, Lesedi is diagnosed with bipolar disorder several years ago, and he has spoken openly about the challenges he faced growing up and the realities of living with a mental health condition and the work that helped him reach a place of stability and well-being. Lesedi, good afternoon to you. Thank you for joining us once again and for being willing to share your story. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Michael. Thanks for having me on. I'm just happy if at least one person can be helped by my story today.
Great. Let's see how we do. Well, Men's Health Month, it's often focused on physical health, but mental health, that's another aspect that needs to be contended with, is just as important. So why did you feel it was important to be open about your own experiences?
I think it was very important for me to be open because I think if I wasn't able to work through my issues, I unfortunately wouldn't be here today. And I know what it's like. There's a lot of men out there men suffer the most from suicidal thoughts and completing the action. And it's just that if only they had the help or if they had the assistance, a lot of families would still have a father today. A lot of families would still have a brother today. A lot of friends would still have their friend here today. A lot of women would still have their husbands here today. So I think it's very important to shine a light on and show them that they're not alone.
Sure. Let's just step back at this point in time. So you've mentioned that you've struggled with mental health since childhood. Now, let's look back. Were there signs that something wasn't quite right long before you received a formal diagnosis? What did you sense?
I think for me, the thing I sensed maybe is that for the average person, everyone's going to go through depression. That's a normal thing. But for me, what I noticed is that it would happen, it would be disproportionate, you know? I'd look at people who'd gone through I've gone through difficult things in my life, but I'd look at people who'd gone through some difficult things and I'd be confused why I would feel more depressed than them. Like, why would I feel depressed sometimes when things weren't necessarily bad? There was a time when I had my dream job, everything was going well with my startup and everything, and just everything seemed to be going okay, but I just felt incredibly depressed and suicidal. And I was like, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand. How can I be sad when everything is going okay and so on? So it's, so I guess that's what I'd say on my side.
Let's look at the understanding around bipolar disorder. All right. So we're dealing with a lot of misunderstanding about it, particularly in many communities. So what do you wish people know or knew about the condition that they often get wrong?
Oh, there's a lot. There's a lot that I wish people would know.
Narrow it down. Okay.
I think if I narrow it down, I wish people would understand the manic side of bipolar, because depression is easy to understand, but the mania side of it is not very easy to understand.
When we look at the black community, now you have spoken about how mental health is often misunderstood in this community. Why do you think these conversations can be so difficult to have?
I think it's just the culture, you know. There's a culture of men having to be incredibly strong, or there's a culture that any mental health illness is seen as, you are either crazy or you are bewitched, which is unfortunately the case with the Black community. So because of that, people often don't get help, and it's often very stigmatized.
Is that still very prevalent from what you're observing?
I'd say, yeah, but in my situation, a lot of my family is now, like, they are very educated, and they understand now through the experience of going through everything with me. So my family understands, but I can't confirm for other families, but in general, unfortunately, not many people fully understand it.
We look at the pressures on men, men grow up hearing phrases like, hey, man up, be strong, don't cry, you know, cowboys don't do that. So how did those expectations affect the way you dealt with your own struggles?
I think one thing that I can say is that I did try to combat those narratives when I was told when I was younger that I shouldn't. I actually kind of like fought against it. I was like, what's the reasoning behind that? And I allowed myself to feel those emotions. And when I was going through difficult things, I did allow myself to cry, because I'm a human being. Like, it's not like just because I have a different gender, my emotions don't mean anything. But the one issue I would say is keeping it to ourselves, because maybe you're not told don't cry, but we're told be strong or man up or don't you don't have to don't talk about that stuff. It's like, ah, dude, don't be, don't be an emotional something. I don't know the correct terminology. So it makes you keep everything to yourself. So instead of opening up to other people as a man, when you're depressed or when you're not mentally in a good state, you just keep it to yourself. You let it bottle up, and then eventually it's going to explode or it ends in a bad way.
Sure.
So I think that's the negative side. The negative side is not creating a culture where we can freely, openly speak about our mental health and be heard, you know. I think that's where the issue was. And I feel like that's what affected me as like growing up, I would say.
I think what many people would like to hear from you, Lesedi, as well, asking for help is one of the hardest things to do, that we've acknowledged. So what really pushed you, what finally pushed you towards seeking professional support?
I had a manic episode that essentially ruined my life, lost all my friendships, messed up my school life, messed up every single possible aspect of my life, which is why I wish more people understood what mania was on that one side of bipolar. But I was in a very depressed state, and I was just waking up every day thinking of taking my life. And it was actually my parents that helped take me to a mental health facility where I got the help I needed. And yeah, at that point, I was ready to give up. It was actually them who helped me and helped take me there, you know. And
sure.
I think that's what I'm grateful for, that they were willing to take me there. It's just unfortunately in the Black community, mental health facilities, whether it's a case or whatever the case may be, they are looked down upon as if it's like not a good place for you to go. But one thing I can say is that if I went to that place at the beginning of my manic episode, a lot of the bad things wouldn't have happened. I would have gotten the help a lot sooner. I would have gotten the treatment a lot sooner, and many things in my life wouldn't have been affected. So that's the one thing that I'll tell people, is that there's nothing wrong with going to places like Akeso. There's nothing wrong with going to a mental health facility. They actually help you like quite a lot there. And ever since I met with my psychiatrist and I've been taking my meds, I've been actually in a mentally stable point, like place, for the first time in a very long time, which it just feels like such a relief. I know it's difficult. It's difficult, but the strongest thing that you can do, it's not the weakest thing you can do. Asking for help is not a weak thing. It's actually a strong thing, and it's a difficult thing to do. So that's what I'd say to the men out there who are listening.
Indeed, you've imparted such, sound advice to the advice to men out there, as you put it, Lesedi. But let's look at workplaces and communities from their perspective. How can they then better support men struggling with mental health?
I think the most important thing is setting a culture where it's okay for men to open up. I think that's like a huge, 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 huge thing. It's the culture, because if the environment, if let's say it's an environment where people are laughing at people with bipolar or something, or they see someone going through mental health issues, and it's like a joke, it's an inside joke. It's used as a, oh, he's probably got, he's like, if someone's angry, then they'll just use being bipolar as an insult. Or if someone is has is autistic or on the spectrum, they use that as an insult. Then it's the people are less likely to open up, because even men with autism are more likely to have depression. They're more likely to have mental health issues, you know. So if you create a culture where anything, anybody who's different or who's not fitting the norm, I can say, is seen as like an outsider or is seen as like a joke, no one's gonna wanna open up. No one's gonna wanna be that odd person out, you know. So I think creating a culture where people can feel more open and feel okay and not be judged or not be teased or laughed at, I think that's a huge, that'll make a huge impact.
What has your mental health journey really taught you, Lesedi, about strength, resilience, and what it really means to be a man? What would you like to put out there?
I think so that's a very good question. I need a second just to get a good
Didn't need to
answer.
put you on the spot there, but.
I think what it's taught me is that what it's oh sorry about that. What it's taught me is that the strongest thing you can do, like genuinely, the strongest thing you can do is actually being open. The strongest thing you can do is asking for help, you know, because there were so many years where I suffered in silence. I keep it all to myself. And at the point where I wasn't keeping these thoughts to myself, where I told my family that, yeah, I've been depressed, that my mental health is not in a good place, eventually I got the help that I needed, you know. So what if I said that earlier, you know, like how much better would my, there were so many things that I could have enjoyed more if I was able to, you know, get help sooner and talk,
Sure.
you know.
Mental health conversations, not easy, but they are necessary. And perhaps one of the most important messages from today's discussion is that strength isn't about suffering in silence. It's about having the courage to seek help, ask questions, take care of yourself. Lesedi Machadebane, Lesedi, thanks so much for joining us on today's show. Lesedi is an entrepreneur, innovator, youth leader, and someone who has chosen to share his own journey with mental health. And as we mark Men's Health Month, let's continue creating spaces where men feel safe to talk, supported when they struggle, and encouraged to prioritize their well-being. Again, thank you so much for joining us, Lesedi.